Ahava, blessings. Welcome to this episode of Embodying the Shekhinah. This podcast is here to support and guide us during these times of accelerating energy to remember, embody, integrate our soul essence. I'm your host. My name is Aria. I'm an ordained Magdalene priestess, a Reiki master, energy and sound alchemist. And in this episode, we're going to talk about the ancient civilization called Mu, well, Lemuria, the continent called Mu, and the ancient wisdom these light beings grounded into the earth. So I have been playing with a variety of crystal alchemy singing bowls containing Lemurian seed crystal. I've been meditating with Lemurian seed crystals, and I've always felt a connection to this ancient civilization. And I didn't want to be influenced by what's out there, so I just asked to receive the information that is most relevant for us at this point in time. That was my intention when I set out to meditate, and while I was meditating with these crystals, I was out. Like, there was, I don't even know how long I was meditating, but there was a point in time where I know that I was not in my body. And at first, the images that came in were those of the fall, the collapse of Lemuria, and experiments and all kinds of just really not good things that happened at the end. So I said, I'm like, okay, that's not what I want to see right now. What I want to see is the messages of what we need to learn, what we need to embody, what we need to ground. Show me what your civilization was about, because your civilization was not about what happened at the end. That was simply what happened at the end. There's a whole other story. So I tuned in, and what I received was that Lemuria, the Lemurians, lived in a fifth-dimensional frequency. And at the time that they lived on the earth was a higher vibration. So the earth was more compatible with the embodiment of fifth-dimensional light beings, because once we get above the fifth-dimensional, you kind of start losing, it's harder to hold a physical form. So it's not that you lose anything, it's just that to be corporeal is just that much more, like, really, really challenging when you start getting above that fifth-dimensional frequency. So I keep hearing 528 hertz as I'm saying this, and the bowls that I was playing, the majority of them were 528 hertz. I was doing a binaural with a 432 hertz. So the frequency of this is why it's important, the 528 hertz. 528 hertz is one of the solfeggio frequencies. And the Lemurians, they worked with sound and with light. They worked with vibration. This is how they healed, and this is how they were able to anchor and ground the higher dimensional frequencies here on Earth. And grounding kept coming in several times. I kept hearing grounding, 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 grounding. And the reason I kept hearing that is because that's one of the most important things for us at this point in time, is for us to remember that we are here grounding higher dimensional frequencies here on Earth in our physical bodies. So it's not about, you know, oh, well, we're going to ascend and we're going to escape the body, and, you know, the three-dimensional is bad, the physical realm is bad. It's not about that. It's really about holding a frequency of love and gratitude. That was one of the primary things that I received, that the Mu civilization, the Lemurians, were about grounding the frequency of love. And when I was at the expo, we were speaking of scalar energy on the panel, and this lovely woman, Gail, was sitting next to me, and we were talking about what scalar energy is. And when I was receiving the information, I was kind of seeing it as kind of prisms of light at different frequencies that turned into sound, but they were all like an expansive heart opening frequency. So it's like the energy of the cosmos, the energy of the universe is the frequency of love, and love is creation. So it was just interesting to kind of see it that way, to see like energy and frequency on a different point in its expansion and contraction. It's either light, it's sound, it's frequency, it's frequencies we can't hear, it's the infrared, it's the corporeal. So it's basically underpinning the fabric of everything. And the Lemurians were very peaceful, very heart-centered. They spoke and communicated telepathically. But the other thing I received that was very interesting, and I've never heard this before, is that they used sound and the voice in particular to heal. So the voice was the primary instrument. So even though they could communicate telepathically for their ceremonies, for their hearing courtship as well. So for their courtships, for their ceremonies, for their expression, it was musical. It was the voice. It was the singing. For healing, that's what they used. For creating amazingly huge megalithic structures, which you can still see in the South Pacific in certain parts of it, they used sound. They used frequency. They were able to levitate because they didn't really walk on the earth. So it was kind of, even as I'm seeing it now, it's a little trippy to see it because it's kind of like they're walking above the earth because their frequency is so high. Their physical body is so high. The other thing that I received is that they were a very heart-centered, open society. They were very advanced. And their mission, they were seeded by many starseed civilizations, the Pleiadians, the Lyrans, I'm hearing the Cassiopeians, and I'm hearing that there were also other beings. So there were aquatic beings from Sirius, I think it's C, but from one of the Sirius stars, there were aquatic beings. There were even mantoid beings, but these were high dimensional beings that were vibrating at the frequency of unconditional love. So everything they did was about creation. Everything they did was about beauty, about harmony, about melding the spiritual into the physical. They were a matriarchal society, and it's not that the feminine was valued, but it was not valued in like better than. The feminine was revered and valued and worshipped and was their guiding force because the feminine was the energy and the vessel through which life incarnated into the planet. So it was about, and the feminine holds the frequency of the masculine and the feminine. And it's not that it's not that the feminine was stronger even in the masculine. It was that there was a balance. There was a sense of androgyny, a sense of harmony between the masculine and the feminine, the structure that is needed to underpin the society and to create safety and stability, and the creative essence, which is the feminine. So it was a very beautiful, I keep seeing like a lush rainforest. I keep seeing like just abundance, fertility, fruition, just like expansion. All of these frequencies that we associate with the feminine nowadays, that's what I keep feeling. And I feel this expansive energy in my heart as I'm tuning in and speaking this, because I didn't write anything down, because I was just like, okay, I'm going to feel, I'm going to embody, especially since the first things they were like grounding, I'm going to embody, and then I'm going to share. So it was a highly advanced society. It was a matriarchal society. It was ruled by a council of 13. And it was ruled by a priestess class. There were priests, but it was the priestesses that took the lead. And they were priestesses of the light. So they were, like, I even see them working with light conception, which is their in into the desert Christic Magdalene lineage, which I was wondering, I'm like, okay, well, where does this come from? So when the Lemurians, because they were telepathic, they were very intuitive, they were connected to source. So the difference between the Lemurians and the Atlantean civilization, both started as high frequency, I guess, experiments, high frequency civilizations that were seeded on Earth. The Lemurians were simply, like, their whole objective was love, was expansion, was creation, was harmony, was beauty, was all things associated with the feminine. The Atlanteans, they started as a balance between the masculine and the feminine, but focused more on the mind and the technological advancements of that the mind can create and ground here on Earth. Where that kind of went awry was it got too heavily focused on the mind and it lost connection with the heart. And the way I saw it was that there was a severance that happened between the heart and the mind. And this severance caused a severance from source, God, goddess, divine presence. And the Lemurians, because they were always connected with love, they couldn't see how the frequency, because these civilizations interlapped at a point in time, they couldn't see how they were in a way at a disadvantage as the frequency of the earth was lowering. They couldn't see how they were at a disadvantage for solely embodying the spirit and not necessarily seeking more technologically advanced ways to kind of counteract the shift that was happening on Earth. Because it was a shift in, it wasn't just a shift that happened because of lower frequencies and the ego becoming involved in the case of Atlantis. It was also a shift in the frequency of the Earth that was part of her life cycle. So all creatures and all beings that come to the Earth, we have an agreement with the Earth. And this is why we incarnate here on Earth and not somewhere else. We have an agreement with the Earth, kind of like the Hawaiians have the concept of the kahu, which is the concept of you're not the owner of a pet, you are its guardian, its steward. And I'm about to, this is kind of bringing me a little bit to tears. It's the same with the Earth. We incarnated to be guardians and stewards of the wisdom, of the ancient wisdom of the Earth. And the more that we have disassociated ourselves from our bodies, and the more that we have disassociated ourselves from source, divine presence, God, goddess, the more that we have disassociated ourselves with the earth. It's all interconnected, because we cannot have oneness with the divine without oneness with the earth. Because the earth is a consciousness, and she is a deity in many ways, because she is connected to source, God, goddess, divine presence. So the earth is the home, and I see a dragon. So I see her as a dragon energy, and the dragons exist on another realm. So at the time when the Lemurians, the civilization was flourishing, there were many, many creatures. There were dragons that were flying, and it was a paradise of beauty and grace and harmony and peace and communication that was heart-centered and open. And when someone was out of alignment and kind of falling off into the ego, they would bring in the songs and the chants and remind the being of who and what they really stood for. So it was this dance that they did of realigning with the cosmos, realigning with the earth. They knew that the earth was their home. They knew that the earth was a living entity. So there was a reverence and a respect and a guardianship. So I think this is connected to they're not actually walking on the earth, because her body was seen as sacred, and because they could hold such a high dimensional frequency, they kind of glided connected to the water, to the whales and to the dolphins and those marine mammals, and they still hold so many of the wisdom codes of Lemuria. There are many lands that also hold these codes. The lands of the South Pacific, the lands of East Asia, the lands of Hawaii, and even now, there are parts in Northern California, in the Andes. There are different subterranean, other dimensional cities, shall we call them, that when Lemuria fell, they migrated. And even before, like, because they had prophets and prophetesses, their priestesses were oracles. So they knew that the collapse was happening, and they actually worked to try to reverse it. Like, they were trying to work with the earth to seed more light into the earth to allow the earth's frequency to rise again. But it wasn't the right time. So, and part of them, you know, were trying to kind of avert this disaster, but others of them knew that this was part of the life cycle of their civilization and part of the life cycle of the earth. So it was kind of a handoff to a lower frequency so that humanity could experience what it was and the earth could experience what it was to be at a lower vibrational frequency. And a lot of the wisdom from Lemuria came into the indigenous cultures of the Andes, the indigenous cultures of the American West, and the native cultures of the tribal cultures in Asia and in the South Pacific. That's where that wisdom went. And the wisdom was also encoded in the earth. So they had a technology of weaving sound and frequency into the earth and into specifically places that would grow crystals, because crystals take thousands and thousands of years to form. So they had a technology, a way of kind of grounding into the earth, grounding their consciousness into the earth to the point that they shifted the way the molecules of certain rocks and sediment formed, so that it would form into what we now call Lemurian crystals, but also that it would form into different formations. So it was very, very sophisticated, very advanced, and it took a lot of energy. And a lot of them actually fused with the earth themselves. Like, I just feel so much energy flowing through me. As I'm speaking this, it's like their consciousness and their being just went into the earth and melded with the earth and decided to reform in crystals and in land formations. So the land is very, very powerful. And this is why our connection to the earth, our respect and reverence, and coming back to that is so crucial. Coming back to our knowing that we are safe and we are protected and we are oneness, and removing the veil of that fear and that control, because fear leads to control. Any guilt, shame, dogma, anything like that, what it does is it leads to separation. So the Lemurians really embodied unity consciousness, because they were individuals, but they also were tapped into the collective. So they knew if one of their own was having a hard time, and then they would send healing, they would send light, they would all of a sudden kind of be with that person. It was kind of like they could teleport. It was a very beautiful technology, because imagine, like, you know, you're suffering and you're struggling with something, and all of a sudden that person that is your person is like just there with you. That is quite beautiful as well. At the end, there were experiments. The Atlanteans had devolved by that point, and the Lemurians that were seeking refuge, they thought they were going to find refuge there, and for a while they kind of did, but then there were genetic experiments and all kinds of just not goodness that these particularly the ones that were not humanoid. So it's contentions at the earth at the end, and it's like I feel it in my solar plexus as a hurt and as a disempowering. And I know that this is a memory that many, many of us hold, because many of us have lived many, many lifetimes here on Earth, and we are starseeds, so we have seeded higher frequencies at different points in time. So that to say is the Lemurians embodied love, and this is what we are returning to. We are returning to our awareness, and our consciousness is returning to the point where we are understanding that we are all interconnected. We are all mirrors and aspects of divine presence, but we are also connected, deeply connected to the earth. So whatever happens to the earth, she's always giving us signals. Every tree can speak to you. Every mountain has a story. Every animal, even though an animal is part of a collective consciousness, every animal has a message. And the Lemurians, as much as some people say they were all vegetarian, no, some of them actually did eat meat. And the reason they ate meat was to ground their energy. Some of them were way too high up, and they needed to ground. So some of them did eat meat, but of course it was a very ritualized, very consecrated, very venerating that being, that animal that gave its life. So there was a lot of reverence for everything, and even for the plants, because plants have a consciousness too. It's like we think that, oh no, it's just an animal that, you know, feels things. Plants feel things. Plants, like, for real, they feel things, and they communicate with one another, and the trees communicate. So you can't say that one consuming one thing is better than consuming animals. Like, it's the same. You're consuming a consciousness. So sorry to break it to you if you're vegan, but that's the fact. The fact is that you're consuming a consciousness. You may be consuming a consciousness that is less dense, and that's okay. Or you may be consuming a consciousness that is more grounding and kind of heavier and denser, and that's fine too. So again, they lived, and the message is that they lived in a space of non-duality. They knew with every part of their being that they were one with everyone, everything, every cosmic celestial body, every earth, every plant, every tree, everything. They knew that the world and the cosmos is a web. It's an interrelated, interlaced web of connections. So they nurtured those connections. They communicated, they revered, they sanctified their lives. Their lives were those of holy men now. Because everything was intentional. Everything had a purpose. They knew everything had a purpose, and they lived like every moment was about, okay, what am I creating in this moment? How am I living? How am I expanding? How am I contributing? Everything was about the intention to align with the heart, with the divine, with the earth, and to know and to live in that oneness. And that is what we are coming back to. The earth is shifting her frequency again, and it's rising. And she's taken us along for the ride. And this is why things may feel like they're falling apart, and all of a sudden we think, you know, oh, you know, there's so much corruption, or there's so much this, or there's so much pain, or there's so much suffering. It's because this is how the earth is raising her frequency. She has to shift and transmute all of these dense energies in order to ascend. And it's the same with us. The more that we can surrender all of those labels, everything that we think we are, and really come back to our true essence, which is that we are one, we are oneness, we are cosmic source, God, goddess in a human vessel. And everything that we do has a ripple effect. There is no separation. When we speak a kind word, that word infuses and nourishes that being, and then that gets rippled out into the ethers. When we speak to a plant, when we say grace and bless our food, bless our water, when we are conscious of, okay, this shower is cleansing my energy, this food is nourishing my spirit and my physical vessel so I can create beauty, create love, create harmony, create this podcast, you know, whatever we're doing, everything matters. There is nothing that is insignificant. And a lot of people want to kind of fall into the trap of the fear and the, maybe they don't want to, but they do fall into that trap of the fear and the kind of, oh, well, you know, there are negative entities and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that can be done to me. And it's the way that we heal is we surrender and we know and trust in our oneness, in the divine, in ourselves, in our soul, in our mission. We trust. We have faith. We surrender the baggage and the excess, and we align with our light and our source and know that we are infinite galactic consciousness. We are a cosmic light being in this physical form. So there is no need for greed. Just like in Lemuria, there was no need for greed. This endless amassing of shit, if you'll excuse my cursing, if that is a curse anymore, but this huge amassing of stuff that we don't even use, we don't even need. This huge kind of like desire to quell and satiate ourselves with meaningless exchanges or meaningless gratuitous sex, which is probably not what we should be doing, because sex is an energy exchange, and you know, energies get exchanged, and sometimes those may not be good. So it's really about our consciousness. What are we focusing on? What are we building? What are we creating? What are we aligning with? Are we feeding, let's use the case of buying something, with our resources? Are we feeding a family that is creating good in the world? Or are we basically feeding another, you know, pseudo whatever the hell, and you know that they think that they're the messiah, and you know they're all about the money. They know that, you know, whatever it is, you know, it's about the money. So it's really having the discernment and the wisdom to know what we are doing, how we are doing it. All of it matters. And sometimes you don't know, and that's okay. If you don't know, that's okay. It's not about guilting yourself or shaming yourself or constantly scrutinizing, you know, where, oh, well, I should have known this, or how come I didn't know that. That's not what it's about. It's about just connecting with your heart and living from a space of love and integrity in alignment with your soul, in alignment with the divine, because all that is one, and doing your best. We can only do our best as human beings, because we are in this human meat suit, and that comes with certain experiences, that comes with certain karmas and traumas. So the more that we free ourselves, the more that we can open ourselves to receive and embody more light, and the more that we embody more light, the more that we ground that energy into the earth, and we share it with one another, and we expand. So it was very, very heart opening, because I've connected with the Lemurian frequency before, and you know, sad towards the end, of course, but it was very beautiful to see that we did have that kind of womb based cyclical nurturing society, where everyone was respected and valued and cherished and loved because they all embodied the same frequency. And the moment that they started deviating, that was the moment that they all stepped in to support one another. they all stepped in to guide one another and to raise each other up, as opposed to tearing each other down. So we have the choice. We can continue to live in duality, or we can choose to transcend and embody the infinite love of the fifth dimensional consciousness, the infinite love of creation. This is what we are here to do. We are here to ground that energy. And it's not about I'm better than someone or that person's better than me. It's not about that comparison. That again puts you into separation. Judgment puts you into separation. Gossip puts you into separation. All of those lower frequencies, they put you into separation. It is about aligning with the infinite light and aligning with your soul and the divine. The divine is all around you. It is in the trees, it is in the wind, it is in the water, it is in the earth. We are meant to be one and whole with the earth. When we know this oneness, that's when we experience peace, shlama. And the other thing that I noticed was interesting was Lemuria, well, Mu, the continent, begins with a Mem. Mem is the waters of creation. Mem represents purification, the divine mother creation. Lemuria, Lamed, whipping away negativity, the sexual creation energy channeled. Mem, Resh, wisdom, discernment, the Yud, the seed, and Aleph, the bridge between heaven and earth. So it's a beautiful frequency to work with, to connect with. And the way that we connect with the Lemurian energy is we come into the heart. And I feel that they had a very, very expanded high heart chakra. So their high heart chakra, the one that's above the heart, which would be the F sharp note, was actually bigger and larger and more expansive than the F, the heart. So the other thing that I saw was, so there are many of these ancient indigenous traditions, these wisdom traditions, they say that, you know, oh, the teachers, they came from the water. And these were the refugees kind of seeking sanctuary. But what I also see is that they saw them as white, Caucasian, but they weren't Caucasian. What they saw was their aura. Their aura was so bright and so luminous that they thought they were the sun. So it's really beautiful to know that it's not a cultural thing. It's not a race thing. It's your frequency, your energy, your auric field and the strength of it, the magnetism that it emits, that impacts the way people perceive you. So it's not, you know, if we're trying to achieve something, it's not about the doing, it's about the being. It's about maintaining the resonant frequency, the harmonies that align with the manifestation that you wish to birth into the world. So frequency, sound, light, all of it work together. Bless your food. I encourage you to feel into this energy. The companion sound activation is very beautiful and very powerful with these beautiful Lemurian alchemy singing bowls. There's platinum, which is the divine feminine, rose quartz, and azestralite and phenakite. So very high vibrational frequencies, mostly at 528 hertz. Well, I should say the A is 528 hertz. So the frequencies align with the 528 hertz range, because I found this funny because I was listening to my voice, and kind of I had an app to kind of tell the frequency of my voice, particularly when I sing. And I notice how different tones in my voice have different inflections, and sometimes like my voice hits 528 hertz and higher, and actually I've hit 639, which is the solfeggio frequency, and that's, oh, I forgot to mention that. So they worked with the solfeggio frequencies. So the wisdom of the solfeggio frequencies, those specific frequencies that the Gregorian chants, the ancient chants were in, that came from the Lemurians. Atlanteans. The wisdom of the desert teachers, the Essenes, that came from the Lemurians as well. So I was listening to that. And so what I want to say about this is, because I work with sound and frequency, I want to say that while you can have one note that vibrates at 528 hertz, the other notes vibrate in sequential order down or up from that place. So it's impossible for the human voice to be 528 hertz all the time. It's impossible for every note that you play to be 528 hertz. It's very important to know that when something is tuned to 528 hertz, it's the A that is tuned to 528 hertz, and the other frequencies are tuned to match that, so they harmonize with one another. Because just like when we speak, our voice has different notes that it feels natural to the voice. And that also can correlate to your zodiac sign, your astrological chart. It can correlate to different illnesses you may have, or kind of, not illnesses, but I think tendencies to have certain issues come up. So sound and frequency really is incredibly fascinating because of that. Because different sounds in your voice correlate to different parts of the body. Very, very interesting stuff. So I encourage you, if you enjoyed this, to like, share, subscribe. Do check out the sound activation, which is very beautiful. And if you're interested in knowing more about sound, please feel free to follow me and work with mantras and mudras and activations of the sacred geometry of your physical body. You can follow me on YouTube at Aurea Lara, AUREALARA, that is linked below. You can also follow me on Instagram at Aurea Lara and at Embodying the Shekhinah. All of those are linked below. And I look forward to sharing more and embodying more of this frequency. I just feel like I've had several new guides come in, especially after the Conscious Life Expo, and it's been pretty trippy, and there's like so much happening. So there's a lot of grounding that I personally have to do. So I do think that it's the same for all of us. We're all here to ground different frequencies. So pay attention to your body. Your body really is the wisdom, holds the wisdom that you need in this moment. So pay attention, nourish your body, eat really good, nourishing, clean food, and drink plenty of water, especially with the sound activation that I share after, that's the companion to this. Please do that. And as always, I will see you in the next episode. And if you have any questions, if something came up, please feel free to reach out to me. You can find my contact info in one of the links below. Have a blessed day of the goddess. I do hope that this inspired you to feel more into the Lemurian energy and the fifth dimensional consciousness that is unity consciousness, that is unconditional love, and to allow that frequency to permeate your heart until